friends, and that you truly counted your blessings. For the past 4 weeks, we've been thinking about and examining from God's Word the idea that God created humans to manage everything He has created, all of the resources that He's created for our benefit and for His glory. God's people are to be stewards or managers of God's things. We're able to do this because God has enabled us by making us in His image as His children. In the course of our examination, we found that a steward is a slave who is entrusted with great responsibility by his master who owns him. He's accountable to his master for how he manages his master's things in every respect. God entrusts these managers with all of his tangible things, which includes money, possessions, property, people, our businesses, and the jobs that we fulfill. We found also that God entrusts his stewards with all of his intangible things, such as abilities, knowledge, spiritual gifts, even opportunities and time. And we notice that God has commanded us to carefully manage his creation itself because very visibly and continually it glorifies him. To manage all of God's things responsibly, we found that stewards must have God-set minds. God-set minds are formed by God's Word and by our faith in that Word, which grows out of it. So, the most important thing that God gives us to manage, above all these other things that we've talked about, is His Word and our consequent faith because of it. Romans chapter 3 and verses 1 through 2 speaks of how the Jews had been blessed above all other people with being entrusted with the very words of God. When Paul writes this, he writes it to remind them that they alone had that great honor. They alone were entrusted with that which is of such great value. That they were in a situation that no other people on the face of the earth had ever experienced. God had come to them. He had offered to be their God. He had offered unity with Him as His children. And He had offered not only His physical blessings, but beyond that, He had offered them His words of life. What a treasure. They didn't always appreciate that. They didn't always live by that. They didn't always understand it. But God had offered them His very words, the words of life. In like manner, in the New Testament, Jude chapter 1 and verse 3 calls for Christians to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. That faith is the gospel, God's words, spoken and lived through God's Son, Jesus Christ. Christians are to contend or to fight for the truth of that faith. Stand up for it, guard it, if you will. Keep it true, because it is God's word entrusted to the saints. And in 1 Peter we find out that the saints are all Christians. So God has entrusted to Christians, His stewards, what is most valuable to Him. His means of saving us from our sins and of uniting us to Him eternally. It's most valuable because it required the sacrifice of what is most valuable to Him, His Son. So the faith God entrusts to Christians is to be valued, highly valued, valued above all other things that God entrusts to us. Since our faith is revealed to us and grows from God's Word, then the Bible itself, that body of God's Word, ought to be highly valued by all of us. And undoubtedly, if I were to ask everyone for a showing of hands and to say, do you highly value God's Word, every arm in this building would be raised. And yet, in practice, that's not always the way it goes, is it? Stories told of a Methodist minister who was supposed to speak at a community Thanksgiving worship service where Baptists, Presbyterians, and Methodists were represented. And so this Methodist minister began, "My text tonight is from Ephesians 2. I won't ask you to turn there because the Baptists have probably already memorized this verse. The Presbyterians couldn't find it. And I'm sure none of the Methodists brought their Bibles." I suspect that among us, there are many Methodists, Presbyterians, and Baptists, or in terms of differences in our devotion to God's Word and to the faith that is found within God's Word. In writing his protege Timothy, the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 11 through 14, "Of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know him to whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you have heard from me, as keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." Paul was God's steward or manager. He identified himself as God's herald, as God's apostle, and the teacher of the gospel. Timothy was to be God's steward of his gospel by keeping and guarding it as the pattern of sound teaching. Paul saw himself as a steward in that very same way. He wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2, "Men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God." Now, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Later on in chapter 9 and verse 17, he speaks of discharging the trust committed to me. What Paul is really talking about here is an awareness that he was entrusted by God to be a steward, a manager of the very word and will of God. It was up to him to faithfully manage that God-entrusted faith. And so he valued it highly. He looked upon that role as being a great honor that was his to fulfill, and that he was accountable to God himself for that. Jesus' parable of the wise and unwise stewards or managers that we find in Luke chapter 12 and verses 42 through 48 is Jesus teaching to his followers about their management of their God-entrusted faith, the faith that he was leaving with them, the story that he was leaving with them, that the will of God, the fulfillment of that ages-long development of God's plan of salvation. Jesus' followers, as a course of this particular parable, are then entrusted with his gospel, his good news of what God has done through his grace to allow human beings to be saved, to be forgiven of their sins, and to be united with him eternally. His management responsibility was great for these men. Their responsibility was to manage the use of this gospel carefully, respectfully, and in a spiritually profitable way until Jesus would return. And all three of those elements were at the heart of this business of how they were to go about managing the gospel, managing their faith in it carefully, respectfully, and in a spiritually profitable way. And so beyond valuing it, the faith that God entrusts to Christians is to be shared. That's where this spiritually profitable aspect comes into play. Paul said that he had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel. His management responsibility to God was not to keep it and guard his faith by hiding it, but rather it was to speak it. And so he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and there in verses 17 through 21, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us, here's a stewardship cue, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And here's what that ministry of reconciliation was, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And another cue to stewardship of this gospel, he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Paul says that servants of God like himself are ministers, another word for servant, messengers, in other words, takers of the news, ambassadors, those acting in behalf or on the part of their master. All of those are stewardship roles, management roles, managers of the gospel, managers of their faith. It was a responsibility. But notice here how Paul frames it. It wasn't just a responsibility. It wasn't some kind of obligation that was dreary and that Paul hated to think about. But instead, this was an honored job or task. This was a position of responsibility, of representation of God to the world. What a tremendous role was entrusted to him and to those like him, and down through time. And so in the process of doing and being those things, it was fully a life. Because you see, as this steward, this manager of these things entrusted to him, in every way and every time, in every kind of setting, he was the representation of God to that little bit of humanity that he touched. And if God has entrusted the gospel to Christians as a whole, if you and I, every one of us who are a Christian, are a steward, a manager of this priceless good news of God, this priceless love of God that's shown through it, then not just at certain times and settings, but in every day and every moment, you and I are those ambassadors of God. When people see us, they either see God through us or they don't. But the responsibility is given to us, in any case, for God to be seen and to be heard through us. The real question then becomes the same one that Jesus is driving at in his parables where he talks about this. Are we a wise and faithful steward or manager of the things of God? Or as he would term them, unwise and unfaithful? The role of a steward of God's things then is not a job. It's a life. It is a way of living. Therefore, the faith that God entrusts to Christians is to be lived. Well, it's wonderful that we are able to understand it and that we gain a great deal of head knowledge and that we're able to explain it to people, and we need to be able to do that, at least at the most basic level. Scripture calls for us to be able to do that, to be able to answer anyone for the faith that lies within us. But even beyond being able to answer questions or teach is the matter of putting it into practice in our lives. This becomes clear in the description of men who are appropriate to serve as elders and deacons in Christ's church. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 through 13, and again in Titus chapter 1 and verses 5 through 9, the call there is for men who demonstrate godly management in their homes and in their communities. It's interesting that there is mentioned within these qualities or characteristics of men who are qualified then to serve in these roles in the church, that they are able, or as the old translation said, apt to teach. In other words, they do know God's word and they are capable of teaching others about that word. And yet, that's mentioned in a rather fleeting way. What we see in this larger picture is the application of what they know to teach. How are you doing with this in application in your home, with your wife, with your children, with others who live in your home? How are you doing with this knowledge of God's precious gospel in the community? How are you living it out as you interact with other people in the job setting, in a communal setting, a social setting? How is this really coming into play? What kind of reputation, Paul says as he writes about this, do you have in the community? Are you known for someone who lives what you speak? Or are you known as being a hypocrite? Are you known as being a Sunday-only Christian and the rest of the week it's as though God didn't exist? What are you known for in your life? These men who, along with their wives, are serious about living their faith. If they manage their faith in all settings, then and only then are they fit to manage Christ's church. That's something we really need to think about, isn't it? And not just in terms of those men that we would select to be elders and deacons, but really, when we look at those qualifications or characteristics of those men, they're no different than they are really from the rest of us. It's just that these men cannot be slacking or casual about any of this, because these are the men who not only represent us to one another, but represent us to the community. These are men who can be truly said they are Christ-like. That is their goal. That is their heart. Oh, they fail just as all of us do at times. They have their shortcomings. They have times that they trip. They're subject to temptations like the rest of us. But these men clearly have a heart to do what God would have them to do. And so do their wives, and so do their families. And we see this within their families, and we see it outside their families. We see a consistency about their heart. We can see a consistency about the direction of their lives, despite their times of failure. The role of elders as stewards of God's people comes out in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 1 through 4, where Peter says, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." We hear those stewardship words in there about being this under-shepherd, essentially, about this flock that is entrusted to you, about how you're not to lord it over them because you're not the Lord, you're the servant. You are to live a life that represents your Lord in every respect. And you have a responsibility then to this flock, this group of people who are trying to live out their faith and who need someone in the flesh that they can see it in. And you, elder, are to be such a person. Not perfect by any stretch of that, but someone whose heart is headed in the right direction. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be added." This is God's commission, and it's His promise to His stewards. It's a reminder that we're accountable for managing our faith. All of us, not just elders and deacons, not just their families, but every Christian. We're accountable for the management of our God-given faith, our God-entrusted faith. Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 12 through 13 remind us that the Word of God is living and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. And even though there's not a question that's formed in these verses, there's a question that you and I invariably have to deal with in these verses. And that is, how will God judge me as I come to account to Him for my handling of His Word and my faith that grows out of it? Jesus said, "The Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son." So even Jesus, even God's Son, was a steward of God's Word and will. Oh, and how much He was a steward. How often Jesus would let people who were listening to Him and following Him know, "I don't speak on my own behalf. I speak as the Father has instructed me. I speak on His behalf." Essentially, Jesus would say repeatedly in a variety of ways, "I am not the master in the fullest of senses. I am your master, but I am the steward of my Father God, who has entrusted certain things to me for a certain period of time, and then I'll hand it back to Him." And so everything that Jesus was saying about us being stewards of His, He also says about Himself in relation to God. Jesus is God's steward, His manager of judgment by the gospel. Are you ready to give account to Jesus of how you've managed your faith? That's a question we shouldn't quickly answer. Have you valued and shared and lived your faith in Christ Jesus so that God Himself would call you faithful? If you have, may God use you long and well to be an example to others of how to live before Him as an accountable steward, manager of all that God has entrusted to us. If you've not, this is a wonderful opportunity to change that. By entrusting yourself to God, as Paul talked about, and becoming one whom God entrusts with His gospel for your blessing and the blessing of countless others. If we can be of any help to you in coming to Him in faith this morning, we urge you to come forward right now as we stand in